And turn with me to chapter 4 of Ephesians. And I would encourage this church on a regular basis, always bring your Bibles here. I mean, the Bible is the living Word of God. And I can't overemphasize the priority and importance of His Word. It's impossible to do for what it is. It's God's Word. And again, let me just... I just feel like praying right now, so just bow your heads again. I just ask God to meet with us. Lord Jesus, again, I would ask you to do a work here this morning. I'd ask you to, again, provide for our ears to be open, our hearts to be open, that we would see you clearly, and this whole entire service would be given to you, Lord God, that all that would speak after me as well, Lord, would be realize the priority importance of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and why we do what we do at this thing that you call the church, the bride, the family, the body. Incredible metaphors of this blessed family of God, the church. And so, Lord, again, just open our eyes. Just help us, Lord, to be what we need to be. I would pray that you'd get the baggage out of our way, the stuff, the problems, the issues, the things that we whine and complain about, Lord, that we would really focus on you, that we'd receive from you this morning. Fill us up with your grace and your mercies. Fill us with your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we've been doing a sermon series on spiritual motivators. As a pastor, I've been trying to just continually figure out how to help you grow up, how to help you become more and more like Christ. What does it look like within the church, and how much of a priority the church and the family is in that spiritual growth is crucial, is essential. And yet, why is it we see... again, so many, it seems, wandering aimlessly within the church, seemingly clueless in the church when it comes to things that matter most. They will profess it. They will say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And yet by their lifestyle, by their attitudes, by their energies, by their actions, it's obvious something is missing. There's a great disconnect. And we're seeing that in our church in America throughout. And I am just saddened by what I see out there. And yet we also know in other areas of the world, the church is just going crazy for Christ. And that's exciting to see as well. And I pray that we won't end up like Europe was. One time they were on fire there, and Europe today is just basically so dead in many, many spots. So many churches that were once standing tall and filled, when I say church buildings, filled with vibrant Christians, are now empty as museums and apartment complexes. And in fact, as many have been purchased by Muslims for mosques and so on. And it's just astounding what has happened to the evangelical church scene across certain segments of our globe. And yet in China, where there's great persecution, in Korea, in Southeast Asia, in Africa, in South America, the church is just booming, and it's a very vibrant, biblical, crunchy, good church. It's just great. You can wrap your hands around it and understand what's happening there by the glory of God. He's doing a work. And so I continually would ask you to continually pray for our church, for the churches here, for real reformation, for real revival. We all want that, do we not? I'm praying you all want that. That's my heart. I wake up and just ask God, do a work, do a work. And so how is it, and how can we motivate the church in spiritual growth and depth and renewal? And what are those spiritual motivators in your life? What are those growth factors that mature you in Christ? And I'm realizing some things. Yes, indeed, God has to move in through the work of His Holy Spirit. It's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, you'll never be motivated for Christ. If you're outside of Christ, it just isn't going to happen. It's an impossibility. And yet, those that claim Christ, or those that would have the Spirit of Christ in them, there is still some of this synergistic cooperation between me and the Holy Spirit that I have to choose to grow up. I have to choose to love God. I still have to choose to obey God. I still have to take an active part in my sanctification process. We all have to. And shame on us if we say we love Jesus again, and yet it would show so radically different in the way we walk and live our life. And so, this morning, as we talk about my title, Life is Gospel-Driven Ministry, what does that really look like? And do you ever get up in the morning, seriously, and ask yourself, even driving to church this morning, or even you don't even have to be going to church, where can you serve this day? What can I do to help me grow up in Christ? What can I do to help and serve in our local assembly, the local church? What can I do personally to make a disciple of Jesus Christ? How can I love and serve my neighbor in a greater capacity, in a greater way? Have you ever thought of, like, who can I invite to come to church so that they can discover God and grow up in Christ? Do you guys think about these things, is my question. Does this resonate with you at all within your hearts? Or is this just something that you've become so, it's been so standardized and so a ritual and a tradition in your life that you just kind of get up and you drive to church and you point your car in the right direction and you show up here and this is it. I'm serious. And the more I read and the more I find even in the past about some of these great church fathers and sisters and brothers that they really prepared for the Lord's Day even to come, like even not only the day before, but almost it seems like the whole week they couldn't wait to come back together corporately with the body of Christ to worship God corporately. God is here this morning. He promises to be with His people. It's a wonderful thing. And again, as we're going to read a section here this morning, what is happening in this particular section of the book of Ephesians, I think what we have here is Paul is giving to us a proper definition of ministry, how the church works, how the church serves, how the church is to love and provide and for one another. So follow along in this quick section of ministry here that Paul is describing here in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And it says here, He gave the apostles. Who gave? God gave. God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherd teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all obtain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Great section of Scripture. What is ministry again, beloved? When we talk about ministry, when we talk about it, the word is, in the original Greek, it's diakonos, meaning we get our word deacon. Deaconess is from that word. It means to serve, to minister. And listen to just some of these verses here. Colossians 4:17, it says this, "See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." Again, Paul is telling a certain particular, his name is Archippus, and he's telling him to fulfill the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul is talking to Timothy here. It says, "For you, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, "Luke alone is with me." He says, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Again, we read this earlier a few weeks back, this particular passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, again, the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone here has a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of the gospel, of telling people the good news, of leading them away from that path they're on and having them turn and turn to the path of Christ. In reconciliation, again, it's where friends become, or enemies become friends, and so on. Once we were enemies of God, now we're friends of God. It says again that in that same section, not that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, we implore you, be reconciled to God. This is a command. Acts 20:24. But I do not account my life, I love this verse, of any value, nor is precious to myself, if I only may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Ministry. Ministry is meant to be fulfilling, and we're meant to fulfill our ministry. Ministry is meant to, at times we'll go through some suffering and tough times, but again, we're to stick with it. We're to remain steadfast. We're to be useful for ministry. It's almost like an oxymoron there. To be in ministry should always be useful. To be useful in ministry. Again, we find it's gospel ministry, the Word of God, the gospel, changing people's lives radically through the message that we have in the text here, in the message of Christ. And again, he regards the ministry, the call that God has put on his life, of such value that the rest of his life has no value. Can you imagine that? That ministry is so important, serving and worshiping and loving his Lord, that his life has no value other than that. Do you hear what he said? That's amazing. I mean, that's the comparison, not to say that life has no value, but the comparison is such that the ministry of Christ is everything to the Apostle Paul. It's interesting to note, even as I perform marriages on a semi-regular basis, and I get from the county, Washington County, and the governmental system we have here, important information for officiating. I made a copy of this for the officiating person, which is I, when I perform this marriage ceremonies and so on, and it talks about credentials for ministers. And listen, even the government, I just find this fascinating, even in our local government or our county government and so on, it says, ministers, they call me here, ministers of the gospel. They use that term, a minister of the gospel. Before I'm authorized, I need to do certain things. They need to file their credentials and license and ordination with the county and the state of Minnesota and so on. It goes for some particulars here, some rules and regulations. But still, again, I find it fascinating that they call, quote-unquote, clergy, ministers of the gospel. I don't know how long that'll stay in there, that particular sentence. Maybe the next time I do one, I'll get that and it won't say ministers of the gospel anymore. But again, Paul again is very plainly and concisely explaining here what the true church looks like, behaves like, how it works, how it serves and ministers so that the entire flock is growing and maturing and becoming more and more like him each and every day. And it's essential that we see these things in this little text. I don't know how much I'm going to do. Maybe I'll have to save this, which is okay for next week because it's so good. And the reason, if you read this section, and if you read these sections on service, if you read the scriptures, really. But I love this section of scripture because it absolutely destroys, it just destroys our present idols of consumerism and individualism and what's in it for me-isms. This is so outside of ourselves. It's so go and serve others. Go and love others. Go and help others. It's not about you, beloved. It's about God and others. This particular section of Scripture, allows us to take our eyes off ourselves and puts them on where they belong, on Christ and again on serving others. In a sense, in this text, we're called to love one another and serve one another and forgive one another. And all of life, beloved, is gospel-driven ministry. And here's what I see that has happened within our evangelical churches today, is that we have tragically compartmentalized our lives to such a degree that we choose to serve and act like we are Christians only at certain times, in certain scenarios, at certain places. And yet you know, and I know, the scriptures are very plain, we are to be ministers, in a sense, of the gospel 24/7, all the time. We are to serve and to love one another all the time, our neighbor, our enemies, strangers alike. We're to minister to them. We're to serve. We're to put, as we sang that song, and said, hands and feet to the gospel. Really. And that's why we need to somehow incorporate that into our lives instead of saying, okay, you know, when I'm at this church thing now, I'm going to act real good and Christ-like and nice and kind and sweet. And yet when I go to that party, I'm letting my hair down and I'm going to be a little out there. But when I come to this prayer meeting, I'm going to be really, you know, really reverent and really respectful. But when I get on Facebook, I'm just going to cuss up a storm and just let people know who I really am. It's amazing what I discover, by the way. I'm not even on Facebook. I don't know if I ever will be on Facebook. What I can discover even about our own church and the activities that we spend our time on, consumed with, truly, because why? You go, you're not on Facebook here. Because I have people saying, wow, wow, wow. They're telling me, I go, I said, really, really, yeah, right, what, yeah. And then other people say, have you heard? No, they email me. And I go, well, in some way I'm thinking maybe we're gossiping, and it probably is, but I'm thinking, then I think Facebook might just be one big gossip chain. I don't know. I don't know, but it sure seems like it.
Sometimes it seems that way.
You know, and not to bash Facebook here. I'm just trying to help you out to say, you know, what's a priority? What was that? So, anyway, settle down here. Settle down. Okay, I touched a button. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Anyway, and so often we only do ministry, we only serve, it seems, Christ, believe it or not, it seems when it's convenient for us, or when it benefits us, or only like the Pharisees, when people are watching us so that we are praised by men. But yet we know that serving and loving and worshiping our Lord is indeed 24/7. And since God sees the heart, guess what? God knows exactly what our motives are in ministry, does he not? He does. So we're not fooling anybody. And again, all of life is gospel-driven ministry. And if you're found in Christ, then, listen, if you are found in Christ, then you are to serve one another. If you're found in Christ, then you are to love one another. If you're found in Christ, then you are to forgive one another. If you're found in Christ, you're supposed to let go of that baggage, that hang-up, those sins, those issues. Because guess what? Christ died for those things. He died for that stuff. And yet we keep bringing it on. We keep pouring it on. We keep bringing up old stuff, reminiscing about old issues and hassles and problems and scenarios. And we whine and we complain. And Christ died for that. Let it go. It says here, you're a new creation in Christ. So serve me now. Serve me with that freshness, that newness, that fullness of His Spirit in you, working out of you. Yes, church is messy, and that's okay. It's always going to be messy until we what? Get to heaven and see Him face to face. I can't wait. But it's going to be messy. But let's be forgiving and loving and serving one another in the process. Let's show the world what a real body of Christ looks like. Let's radically transform us to such a degree, allow God to do that in our ministry opportunities, that people would walk in and say, man, there's something in this place. God is present. And they're seeing it in our lives, in our speech, in what we watch, what we listen to, how we walk, how we entertain, what we do. They notice these guys are set apart. These guys are special. We're not acting like we're pompous or arrogant. We're just loving the Lord. You know, God calls all of us to be a sanctified people, a holy people, a set apart people. He desires that. And the only way that is ever going to happen, you and I cannot conjure that up in ourselves. It just doesn't work. You can try to behave, you know, and I can put some constraints and the restraints on you, and that I can probably predict that, you know, you might do these things because of these constraints and restraints, but eventually you're going to feel like it's twisting your arm, and eventually you're going to say, this is no fun at all. And yet if you really love the Lord, ministry is exciting. It's fulfilling. It's energizing. It's awesome. And church is just a wonderful place. There's no place I'd rather be than right here in this body of Christ. There's nothing more thrilling for me. I really do get juiced driving here in the morning and energized in the morning and say, hey, we're going to gather together with the saints today. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a luncheon. I'm going to eat some food together, you know. It's as good. This is good. But we're going to sing some songs. We're going to hear about some ministries. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. Amen? Okay, I'm not going to go into the rest of the sermon. That's it. Okay, now, so, but here's what I'm going to do. Notice in that worship folder, I'm like the last thing. I'm going to just go up now. So I'll set the pace, and I'm going to be speaking on a couple of things, and then who follows next? Let me borrow that. Lynette. So Lynette, you'll follow me. Is that okay? Yeah, all right. All right. All right. All right. So I'm going to just mention some things now about our first ministry here. Last on the sheet, first in your hearts. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Growth groups and TTI. Again, TTI stands for a Theological Training Institute. What are our growth groups? What are our small cell group Bible studies? What does that involve? All right. It's an opportunity for everyone in the family to grow closer together because the group is smaller, the opportunity to dialogue and ask questions that you can't, except this church does sometimes, from the sermon, from the pulpit, but there's an opportunity to ask Bible study questions as you're opening the text together. It's an opportunity to serve one another, and as the church grows, it also stays connected in these growth groups. These growth groups are not meant to be a clicky type of thing. They're meant to really be into the Word, studying and helping one another become more and more like Christ. It's so important that we understand the priority. And I don't want you guys to be so overly busy with stuff that we have so many things going on that you have to pick and choose. I really want, the Lord's Day is a given. The scriptures are very plain. The corporate gathering of the saints is a must. It's meant to take a priority in our lives. It's a proven fact, and I can give you verse after verse after verse after that. But then I would want you in another, what I'm going to call a growth venue, a growth track, a place where you can grow up in Christ outside of the Sunday Lord's Day, a place where you can get some more training, some more teaching, some more equipping, some more energizing for the things that matter most. And that's what some of these cell groups do, some of these growth groups do. And just so you know, we are, as I am this week, looking at realigning some of the cell groups. We want to really kick them off here in the next couple weeks. You're probably going to get some phone calls. We want everybody in a cell group. We really do, in a growth group. We really do. And we, you know, we meet throughout the week at different times. Not every night is convenient for everybody, but yet it's so valuable. I just can't overemphasize. When people move and need help in moving, guess what helps? The cell group or the growth group. When people are pregnant or give birth to a child, guess who serves meals? The cell group. When someone's sick and someone's hurting and needs some meals provided, again, the growth group helps out. This is just a valuable part of our community here in Christ. TTI, Theological Training Institute. That is a place, again, where we can go deeper corporately. an opportunity to give to you some very tangible, hands-on training and equipping in certain key areas, what I would call those spiritual motivators, those growth areas that are absolutely, I think, necessary. That's why we're doing this coming up hermeneutics course. If you and I do not know how to study the Bible properly, here's the bottom line. You and I will never apply the Word of God to your life properly. Thus, you will be a skewed and warped and deformed, in a sense, Christian. You won't get it. Things won't resonate the way God meant it to resonate in your hearts and lives. It's important that you understand why we do some of this stuff, and hermeneutics is one of those courses. How to study the Bible. Some simple rules, some simple skills, some simple methodologies so that you can open up the pages of Scripture and it starts making more sense to you. It's really, really important. There's a sign-up sheet somewhere. Who has that sign-up sheet? It's right here. Maddie has it, I think. So if Maddie just pass that through again. And again, it's going to start next week at 8:45 sharp. Other than that, I think if you have questions afterwards, please see me in regards to any of that. And then, like I said, they're going to be kind of what I'd call ad hoc type TTIs, meaning we might do a TTI on a different topic in a few months down the line, or you know, they won't be continuous. We're just feeling this out right now and sensing that these are some very important aspects that we need. And if you read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, you'll understand how important teaching is. Teaching is to the body of Christ. Equipping is to the body of Christ. Training is to the body of Christ. Lynette, you're up. All right. I felt like I was talking a mile a minute there.